welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having an absolutely terrific day today. And how are you doing today, Dev?
Austin, I'm doing great. The weather here is finally cool off. It's 71 instead of 98. So it's a lot nicer. The hurricane did come through here. We lost a big tree. Fell across the driveway, had to get a chainsaw this morning and cut it loose, couldn't get the RV out. That was nice. It was about a 60, 70 foot tall pine tree, big, one of the big boys. And so, luckily I had a friend of mine who's got a steel saw who lives next door. Me borrow a steel. Mine's got a messed up carburetor because of the ethanol they put in the gasoline now. It kind of messed up my carburetor on my Echo chainsaw, so I couldn't use it. So I had a good cardio workout first thing in the morning, also moving a giant pine tree. it's been interesting. Then I went to the gym and I worked out. Yesterday, you know, what you guys noticed, we played a rerun. There were several reasons for that. Number one, I wanted to replay that show again because I talked about it yesterday, and I've talked about it four or five times in the past 3 weeks since we had done it, and I wanted to go ahead and play it one more time. Secondly, two nights ago, Austin, your mom decided she wanted to eat a bunch of popcorn. It's a funny story. And so she basically ate a huge batch of popcorn and basically melted an entire stick of butter. And it's organic butter now, all grass-fed, you know, organic butter. And so she was up hurling all night, so that was horrible for all of us in the motorhome. So nobody got any sleep, including her and me, because the motorhome's got, like, paper-thin walls in it, so you hear everything. And so I thought, wow, I think I'll just play a tape. So it was one of those nights. So, guys, I hope and pray that you guys enjoyed the show yesterday. I've gotten so much feedback. Apparently a lot of you had missed the show the first time it had aired, and you heard it yesterday for the first time. So I got inundated with emails about the show yesterday. So thank you so much that you guys enjoyed it that much. Now, tying right back together with that show, we've got an issue here. I'm going to talk to you real quick. I don't usually cover this because I don't really like this kind of stuff, but I want to talk to you about the 2018 American Music Awards, the symbolism of the occult that's involved in that. The reason I'm doing that is because of the show was played yesterday, and I want to tie these two shows together. The 2018 Music Awards had Illuminati symbolism hidden in plain sight that we need to consider. The occult influences from Taylor Swift and Cardi B, Quavo, and other entertainers proved to be influencing the masses in this very high-profile ritual. If you think the Super Bowl rituals, halftime rituals, were occultish, apparently this one was unbelievable. And of course, I didn't watch it, but I'm reading you what was written about it from a guy by the name of Isaac Weishaupt. And so he's very good. He's got his own website. You guys can go to it. And first off, Taylor Swift and the Witch Coven. Taylor Swift was the opening act with much hype prior to the event. She came out and started singing about witches while doing the Mango Coranto hand, which is a Wix hex. She was making it's from the Kabbalah is what it is. It's a hex that the witches use. Now, what goes on about that, she's doing that to her audience. She also has a very curious Twitter handle of Taylor Swift 13 with a focus on 13 since that is the number of the witches coven. And then this guy goes on to say he picked Taylor Swift for years because it's no surprise to see more witchery from her since her Ready For It video, which was got him suspended from YouTube by her management company. During the 2018 AMA Award performance, we saw her fill with lighting symbolism of Luciferian enlightenment utilized by the Church of Satan for the highest-ranking priest in occult symbolism. Her set ended with a giant snake, a serpent symbolizing Lucifer, rising up at the climax, which is again symbolic of the temptation of evil in the serpent of the Garden of Eden. The big picture here is that Taylor Swift must go through the alchemical process from a wholesome good girl to a bad girl. This is why she's wearing black and doing all these edgy things. It's the same thing, sort of ritual we've seen over again with Miley Cyrus, with Rihanna, with Britney Spears, you know, with Taylor Swift, with Taylor Swift, and with the other one, Katy Perry. The most insulting part of the evening was the programming at the beginning that if Taylor Swift won three awards, she'd be the first to accomplish such a feat, as if she wasn't going to win all three. Come on now. The reality was that she was meant to focus everything on energy on voting. as is evident by her acceptance speech. Now, this is then what she did after this, Austin, after doing the witches' coven and the witched hand signs. Remember, these witches have gotten huge in the United States. What she did after this ward, voter registrations skyrocketed after she pushed to get out to vote Bush, as she came out as being a full-blown, you know, communist Democrat. Remember, she's Jewish. That's just something her father is. I just want to bring that up to you. So she's probably raised in the Kabbalah. Voter registrations among young Americans shot up in the wake of pop megastar Taylor Swift's Instagram post urging her 112 million Instagram followers to get out and vote. Voter.org says nearly 65,000 American ages 18 to 19 registered to vote in roughly 24 hours after the witch had this media rally cry.
Wow.
By noon Tuesday, the number had grown to more than 102,000 registered voters. Voter registrations among young Americans shot up in the wake of the pop megastars program. Swift's Sunday night program, in which she also endorsed two Tennessee Democrats, catapulted the singer into a fray ahead of the November midterms. New data from the vote shows Swift's voice is already making an impact. In other words, she's come out now with her full communist, Sabbatean, Luciferian roots is what she's done now. Now, what's an interesting thing too is that now we find out that the satanic church and witches coven is growing more and more and more in the United States, and actually is bigger now than some of the other denominations that we know and have heard about for years on end. So guys, this isn't something that's just happening once. It's happening all over the place. And sadly, it goes right back into the detail of what we talked about on yesterday's show about how the United States has been compromised by these witches, by this Illuminati, by this Sabbatean Kabbalist cult, by the Canaanite worship, Druidic worship that we talked about yesterday, and the witchcraft that's going on. So it's a major, major, major problem, Austin, and people need to take a look at it for what it really is and not just continue to ignore it. What do you think?
It is, and this goes back to exactly what I've been told by numerous people, one of them in particular that used to work out in California in the music industry, and the fact that you really can't get much over, you know, $30, $40, $50 million net worth without doing something to submit to the Illuminati occultists. The reason being is because they don't like giving you this large of a platform, this much money, this much notoriety, this large of a voice, if they don't know they can trust you completely. And this is exactly what we see here. Taylor Swift's been being groomed for the last decade to be put in place just like this. And there's numerous other ones they've done with a lot of these girls. And if they capitulate and they do what they want to do and they basically submit to this satanic New World Order, then they allow them to continually go up the ranks to the point now, as you just said, you know, she's got 120 million Instagram followers. That's a huge population. You think about that, guys. I mean, if that was based solely in the U.S., which obviously Instagram is global, but if that was based solely in the U.S., that means more than a third of the entire United States population followed her on Instagram, including men, women, and children. That's a big following. And so when they need her to start spreading her voice and to start pushing the left stream, the left narrative, she falls into place and does exactly what she wants. This is why now the media is trying to hammer Kanye West so hard. Now, I'm not a fan of Kanye West. I've never really cared for his music. I don't like rap really in general. But he has come out. Trump supported the conservative values, supported the national, you know, the nationalism that he's promoted, and the left now is completely eviscerated him. I saw an excerpt somebody sent me today from CNN. It was like a panel of three or four black individuals, and they were talking about Kanye West and all the stuff that he's pro-Trump and he's this and that. And one of the black commentators, and this is what he said verbatim, he said, "This is what happens when Negroes can't read." That's exactly what he said on CNN, referring directly to Kanye West. And he said, "This is what happens when Negroes can't read. They basically start following lies and incorrect information because they don't know what's going on. They're extremely ignorant." That's exactly what he said about Kanye West. And the ironic part about that is, if Kanye West was supporting President Obama, when the Kenyan was in office, everybody glorified it and said, oh, good, I'm glad you're supporting our president, this and that. And this is exactly what I've told you guys so many times, is the double standard knows no bounds with these guys now. The left is doing everything they can to completely and totally cheat the game as hard as they can, because they know the gig's up and they're being shown for what they are. There's an article I saw yesterday, actually it was today, it was from yesterday, a Washington State man had his truck set on fire and vandalized because he had pro-Trump stickers on it. Johnny McKay said he had a few drinks at a Vancouver, Washington bar, decided to take an Uber home and leave his truck overnight in the parking lot because he didn't want to get a DUI, which I commend him for that. It's not really wise to drink in general, but if you are, be smart. Don't drink and drive. It's not worth the danger to society. And on his truck, he said he had just put two stickers on the back bumper, one of those being basically support our president, the other one was Trump 2020. He was shocked when he got there the next morning and his truck was literally burnt to the ground, tires were melted, the windows were shattered, and on the right side of it, spray painted, it said F Trump, except there was no, they used full expletive, and part of that had been burned out from the paint melting. And, you know, he was doing an interview on it, and he just said, it's so crazy now, we've reached a point to where we support somebody in office that, at least for the most part, seems like they're trying to do what they can, and we're literally vandalized, belittled, harassed, threatened, intimidated, and assaulted for it now. But this is where it's going, and this is why now they're starting to pull these key pop stars out of the woodwork, like, you know, Taylor Swift. I've seen a lot of other ones coming out now supporting this, telling everybody to get out and vote. And this is something that we really need to make sure, if we have anybody that, you know, is a conservative, is Republican, and they do have a voice on that large of a platform, we have to keep spreading the word about what's going on, Dad, because we don't have a choice anymore. This has been one of the reasons why the communist agenda has so aggressively indoctrinated these younger children through these indoctrination school camps called schools, and basically allowed them to be completely and totally brainwashed into believing all these different aspects of what's going on to be true. So they follow this communist mantra, they follow the media like good little sheeple, and they're completely and totally brainwashed. So when a really, really ignorant leftist comes on TV, this hardcore Democrat with 120 million followers, and she says everybody needs to go out and vote, there's 100,000 plus new voters signed up by the next day. That right there shows you the exact agenda they've been working on and how it worked perfectly to their advantage this week, Deb.
Well, also remember, it's increasing the numbers of the witches and the witches'
coven. That's true.
I mean, this is what people don't understand. It's just right now in the United States, I mean, America's in danger. I mean, witches are now outnumbering Presbyterians in the United States, including Wicca and paganism and New Age movement, and it's growing astronomically. You know, the time is here when these people are basically outnumbering certain denominations, including the Presbyterians. And the population of self-identified witches has grown drastically over the past several years. In fact, according to the numbers, there are 1.5 million full-blown practicing witches across the United States. Further, there are only 1.4 million Presbyterians. Think about that for a second. Even though the data is sparse, it is evident that the rise of those who partake in witchcraft is partially because of the increase in the witch aesthetic. While the U.S. government doesn't regularly collect detailed religious data because of concerns that it may violate separation of church and state, several organizations tried to fill the data gap and put the amount of witches together from what's going on. There were about 8,000 Wiccans in 1990, and now they found out there are about 340,000 now. I mean, this is happening. This is crazy. And there's 340 pagans. These are the ones that go to these Babylonian parties and do all these crazy things and worship Lucifer and have the big orgies and all that garbage. This is what's going on. I mean, I told you my story of a witch years ago. I'm not going to repeat it again. Actually being attacked by one and having threatening letters sent to me. It's just, this is what these people do. Also, years ago, there was a tea room that Sharon liked to go to that I'd get dragged to upon occasion over in Lake Alfred. And one of the girls working there had a full pentagram tattooed on her wrist. I mean, the full hexagram and a pentagram or whatever it was. It was a witch hat. It was a hexagram. And I remember I said to her, I said, are you a witch? And she goes, yes, I'm a Wiccan. And I said, great. And I went to the owner of the restaurant and I said to him, I said, the owners were Muslims. And I said to him, I said, why do you have a witch working here? Well, she's a good server. I said, she's a witch. And to see, the Muslims call demons jinn, G-I-N, like genies, jinn. And I said, don't you realize that she does, she summons up the jinn in her private time, and that she's a, she basically worships these demons? And she goes, well, she's a good server. And I said, I'll tell you what, I just won't be back here again. You guys call me when she no longer works here. Because I'm not coming back. I'm not going to be served by a witch. I don't want something put in my food. I don't want anything to do with it. And I didn't. I didn't go back in there for about 2 months. Finally, the lady called, the owner called me back up and said, the witch is gone. I said, okay. And so we went back in and started going there upon occasion again, but never like we'd gone before, because I just don't want to be around any of that stuff. Because, Austin, this stuff is very, very real. We talked about it yesterday, and it hasn't changed for thousands and thousands of years. This Luciferian black magic runs the world, runs the stock market, runs everything, runs the Sabbatean Kabbalists, runs the Rothschild House, it runs everything. Yesterday we witnessed the third largest point crash in stock market history, on the same day that the third most powerful hurricane to ever hit the U.S. made landfall, which is kind of interesting. So the thing came across west of Tallahassee, devastating, huge storm surge, a lot of buildings were damaged, huge amounts of trees, 97% of Tallahassee, according to one of our listeners who lives there, has no power right now, and there were a lot of trees down everywhere in the capital city of Florida. And again, all of this stuff kind of comes together all at the same time to obfuscate the news that's going on. In fact, Chuck Baldwin, now I'm going to talk about Chuck Baldwin for a second. Now, yeah, I'm going to stop for a second. I like Chuck Baldwin. I listen to Chuck Baldwin. I don't agree with everything Chuck says. I don't. But I agree with a lot of stuff he says. And you say, well, why do you quote Chuck Baldwin? Because a lot of the people that are listening to this show right now don't like Chuck Baldwin. And a lot of you guys like Chuck Baldwin. Here's what I like about Chuck Baldwin. Whether right or wrong, he takes a stand and takes a position of how he feels about stuff. And he's a really macho guy. I've had dinner with him. Shows up in flannel carrying guns. I mean, the guy's just cool. He lives out in Montana. He's great. He's a great person. He's, when you get to meet him, he's super, super nice, very, very cordial. And quite frankly, I'm happy he's a patriot and he's telling the truth about how he sees the truth. Now, a lot of people say, well, he attacks Trump too much. Okay. Got that. Understood. That's why if I have him on, I'll let you guys know in advance that Trump's going to, the Chuck will be on. And so you guys, if you don't want to listen to him, you don't have to. But I like Chuck Baldwin. He's a true patriot. You know, he ran for the presidency of the United States. He has a huge following, a huge amount of emails he sends out. He followed his convictions and moved to Montana to get out of Florida about 10 years ago. So I admire the guy. So I just want to say that to you guys who are Chuck Baldwin not likers or whatever you want to call it, naysayers. But the thing about it is he uses facts. And that's the problem with a lot of people, including one of my pastor friends who absolutely can't stand Chuck, who basically told me that, you know, he didn't like him. And I said, well, the problem is, I said, I do like him and I listen to his stuff because I don't agree with everything, but I'd like to be neutral in my approach to the news. So let me read you a little bit of his last column. The left-right rivalry is pure theater. It's not about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, truth, freedom, or the American way. It's all about political power. But there might be a handful of hardcore liberals and conservatives who are truly given and driven by ideology. But what drives the vast majority of these miscreants, otherwise known as politicians, is pure, unabashed, raw power. I'm going to add one thing to that, Chuck. I'm going to add to a greed. Greed is one of the primary drivers, the avarice. The other thing that Democratic-Republican phony rivalry does is obfuscate the real important developments that are taking place that neither party wants the American people to know about. For example, while most of the Americans were transformed on Brett Kavanaugh's version of Peyton Place, and now, if you don't know what Peyton Place is, it's a soap opera back from the 50s and the 60s. You gotta be at least 50 years old to remember that series. Okay? No one noticed that Israel manipulated the Syrian shootdown of a Russian aircraft that took the lives of 15 Russian airmen, which we reported on. And in retaliation, Russia delivered S-300 missile systems to Syria. Nobody reported on it. They didn't notice that the GOP and Donald Trump passed a massive $854 billion spending bill that fully funds Planned Parenthood and fetal tissue research and abortions again. They didn't notice that the government's annual spending came out and Trump and the GOP exploded the federal deficit by over $1 trillion. But just these are some things. Before continuing, let me briefly discuss to a point of one of the most egregious hypocrisies of President Trump and Republicans in the U.S. Senate. How was it that Trump and the GOP sat back and did absolutely nothing to assist Judge Roy Moore, which I've talked about on my show too, our show, when he accused of decades-old sexual improprieties? And Trump and the GOP left Judge Moore to be devoured by the wolves, but then came out to a ferocious defense, like a hornet's nest defending its queen, when Kavanaugh was accused in similar fashion. I have that same question. I don't know what in the world and why Trump didn't back Judge Roy Moore and come basically just come campaign for him. Why they allowed him to be basically not made a United States senator. And we had a very hardcore liberal Democrat come in. Strange to me. Very, very strange. Not only did he said circus that passed for confirmation hearings for U.S. Supreme Court obfuscated serious developments on the national and international stage. It also obfuscated Kavanaugh's real record. Okay. Confirming or voting for a judge should all be about, upholding the Constitution. Kavanaugh is an enemy of the Fourth Amendment, and that accusation is made by many legal scholars, including Judge Andrew Napolitano. Kavanaugh helped create, listen to this, I didn't know this, the Patriot Act that has done more to trample the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution than any act ever created or passed by Congress. Now, Judge Kavanaugh either has no respect for the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. This, by the way, is Larry Klayman, Judicial Watch founder, saying this. Judge Kavanaugh either has no respect for the Fourth Amendment or the Constitution, or he was unethically attempting to curry favor with the Republican establishment exemplified by former President George W. Bush and his administration, which Kavanaugh had worked for as staff secretary in the White House General Counsel. President Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney, not coincidentally, had to put in place the mass surveillance systems that we have from September 11th, helped by Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh obviously understood the aspirations, but someday to become a Supreme Court justice would depend on his close ties to the Republican Bush-Cheney establishment. I've said this already. That's why I don't think Trump wanted to appoint this guy. Remember when Trump appointed him, guys? He acted like he had been eating on lemons. He was so upset about it. And so this is something that Kavanaugh is a swamp creature. Okay? He really is bad. Now, think about this. The Hill reports, President Trump said Monday he had directed Attorney General Jeff Sessions to provide federal assistance to the city of Chicago to limit gun violence, suggested the city implement the controversial practice of stop and frisk. I mean, this is crazy what's going on with Trump now. He did the same thing in Florida by promoting our governor to push this draconian gun law that we have here in the United States. The Fourth Amendment is dead to most Republicans, Christians, and conservatives. In fact, there wasn't a single Republican senator, not even Rand Paul, the libertarian-leaning son of liberty champion Ron Paul, who even dared to broach the subject of Kavanaugh's pathetic Fourth Amendment record. Just thought he'd mention this. Montana Senator Tester focused on Kavanaugh's judicial record rather than his sexual assault allegations against the nominee. Now, he says, then let me read you a couple more things here. See, he talked a little bit about what happened with Obama. Here we go. This is not with Obama, but with the Vince Foster stuff. Joel Skousen wrote, the Vince Foster cover-up wasn't a simple case of erroneous conclusion based upon weak evidence. This was a full-blown conspiracy to intimidate witnesses that proved the official version was a lie. As Starr's deputy, there's no way Kavanaugh could have known that there was a cover-up and a conspiracy. Could have not known that there was a conspiracy going on. Kavanaugh will always be subject to blackmail. If you knew what Starr did to Patrick Nolan, the key witness exposing the deep state conspiracy that killed Foster, and you went along with it. It also implies a more lethal threat if you don't, if you know what they did to Foster when he got cold feet about protecting the Clintons. So all of this stuff about Kavanaugh, and I said this thing with Vince Foster, I was so upset when Kavanaugh was nominated, and then we got to go through the circus show of the nomination for Kavanaugh, and I don't like the guy, I'll never like the guy because of what he did with Vince Foster and being against the Fourth Amendment, and Chuck Baldwin is absolutely right concerning this issue. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, he is on that. I mean, we talked about that because I said from everything from the beginning, the whole thing was a circus show, and it was, as we clearly saw. But one thing it did clearly do, and I didn't really think about this at the time until afterwards, is that it clearly took the entire conversation piece off any of his past judicial rulings and completely moved them off the table, and everybody focused on this circus clown show. That's exactly what it did. So nobody looked at anything else he was involved in at any other point in his time except 37 years ago. Very, very, very strategic setup on that. And I definitely, now that we've seen it, I definitely realize more what they've done here. Also, too, in other news, as I was talking about earlier, schools are now pushing for police-grade surveillance technology, all in the order of protecting their students. This is all coming down to that communist agenda that basically the state is here to protect you, the state is here to take care of you, the state is here to babysit you, the state is here to change your diapers for you. This is what they're instilling in this younger population after the most recent school shooting in Parkland, which was riddled with all types of questions that have still been unanswered. Schools across the country are installing all types of police-grade surveillance, all the way from gunshot detection systems to more metal detectors, even biometric locks requiring facial recognition or people's iris. A new school in New Mexico, Hermosa Elementary, has installed a network of wireless microphones that can analyze the audio signature of gunfire. The devices are placed high on the ceiling in classrooms and hallways to alert authorities of sound and locations of gunshots and automatically, seamlessly lock doors and set off alarms throughout the school grounds. Besides making schools more like a prison with this technology by conditioning children that's for their safety, the other danger is allowing artificial technology to decide whether or not and when to lock doors. A horrifying scenario can emerge when the doors lock before students evacuate the room. It actually prevents them from escaping a potential shooter. On top of that, even more of what we have coming in here, gunshot analyzing microphones are absolutely ridiculous, in my opinion, to put inside of a school system. Not only are they incredibly expensive, but it doesn't actually stop anything. It basically lets you know, hey, there's a shooter in this hallway shooting a gun. Okay, that's interesting. And now we're going to start locking the school down when we have no idea how many people are actually out of the school. This is just riddled with all types of problems, and in my opinion, this could be used to justify and even increase the death count on another mass shooting. Weird stuff like this is just, I'm not a fan of it whatsoever. The school systems already have numerous things they could put in place. As they saw down here in Florida, there was literally monumental support for allowing teachers, especially teachers that were retired law enforcement or retired military, to get permitted to carry firearms inside the school and train with them on a regular basis. This is something that was not even argued with. A significant amount of the population supported it. Now, of course, the upper echelon in Florida completely said they didn't want anything to do with it. Why? Because that doesn't feed the prison industrial complex, the military industrial complex, and the police industrial complex with more needless things like a gunshot microphone in every hallway and every room to essentially spy on everybody. You got to remember, these microphones, they can say what they want about, they pick up gunshots and this and that. They're microphones. They listen to everything that goes on. It's the same ideology people use that are so ignorant that say my Alexa home support system that I can say go buy this or go do this or turn on this radio only listens to me when I say Alexa do this and doesn't listen to me on the 24/7 365 rest of the time. You got an idiot, guys. You got to be an idiot to believe this stuff. This is all designed to spy, manipulate, and completely control the population. And that's what they're doing with these school systems now. There's no legitimate reason why we can't have retired LEOs or retired military legally carry firearms in school. I'm not saying for every teacher to carry a gun. There's a lot of teachers that have no desire to carry a gun, and that is fine. But in a lot of the training these guys do, I told you guys at the end of the show the other day that, you know, I had the opportunity to go train simunition, force-on-force, home defense training, basically, out in Vero Beach last weekend. And it was bar none some of the most aggressive training I've ever done before. You know, I've done a lot of live fire training all over the country. I mean, it's incredibly effective. But when you're actually training with real weapons, with essentially rubber bullets, and you're in a live fire scenario where you're actually having to engage somebody that's shooting at you, there's nothing else that can prepare you for that. And that's exactly what these teachers had to go through if they wanted to carry a firearm, and a lot of the regulations that were placed in and done. But Rick Scott intentionally put three clauses for this so that the state and the county would have to agree on it and can essentially rule out the aspect of teachers being able to carry guns, which they did now. Now they have a school resource officer that makes like $20,000 a year and has to go through like a couple hour training with a handgun, and the fact that we're actually relying on them to protect schools with thousands of children on it is a complete and total joke and shows you they don't care at all about protecting the kids. It's all about protecting their agenda. Another one that we saw come up recently in more totalitarian police state school lockdowns, Rothdale Central School District in New York has announced plans for cameras enabled with license plate reading technologies all around the perimeter and interior of the school parking lot. Part of its planned $500,000 security upgrade. There you go again. More to the security and police industrial complex. The cameras would scan all visitors' license plates, then match them to police databases of any vehicles or active warrants. Also, two Lockport City School District in New York allotted $95,000 a year grant money for a district-wide facial recognition system provided by Ontario-based biometrics company SN Technologies. The system would scan visitors' faces, compare them against criminal databases, and alert people if there's a match. Similar proposals have gone ahead in New Jersey, Wyoming, and Arkansas as well, where Magnolia School District officials approved nearly $300,000 for this technology. Now, the irony of this kind of aspect on it is that this still, if you even believe the mainstream narrative of what's going on, just say for the Parkland shooting, this kid didn't have a police record as far as he had not been arrested or was convicted felon. Or let's take back the giant fake shooting over there in Sandy Hook. Oh, we had a kid that basically never had a record that supposedly had Asperger's syndrome, shot his mom, and then broke into the school with a security breach locked door, weighing 120 pounds, loaded down with like eight mags and body armor on him, and broke into the school with a very, very successful breach, almost military-like, and effectively killed almost 30 people. That story, too, that they expect everybody to believe, that biometrics wouldn't have stopped that either. So the idea of what they're doing here sounds cool from a warm and fuzzy, let's make everybody feel secure without actually providing any real security. But again, when you start looking at the numbers, you find this has nothing to do with protection, nothing to do with security, and everything to do with getting more money to dump it into more police infrastructure so they can monitor anything and everything these kids essentially do now, desensitizing them to the prison industrial complex mindset, which is essentially going to rule over everything if we don't put a stop to this in the near future.
Well, it's the erosion of our constitutional rights. It's exactly what Chuck Baldwin said, Austin. We're doing smoke and mirrors and basically whores before Congress, you know, testifying, and we got whores with Trump, we got prostitutes with Trump, we got porn stars with Trump, we got whores with Kavanaugh. I mean, think through this for a second. You got these super liberal people that are coming in and attacking everything, because remember, these are Sabbatean Kabbalists in most cases. I'm not saying all of them. Luciferians, in most cases, I'm not saying all of them. Or they're just simply pawns in this game of these other guys using them in order to cause all of this nonsense and all of this, let's pretend like it's not happening. A couple of things I want to come with. Yesterday, I read another book. Since we did do a show, I took the day to read a book, and it was more on interdimensional string theory physics. You know, I like that kind of stuff. Nobody else really does. I try to make it as simple as I can when I explain it so it makes sense to everybody with the multi-dimensions that we have with God and hyperspace and everything else. And they made a really unique thing on this one, though. They used a couple – I'm going to be bringing you some of this book here pretty quick, and I'll bring you some of the analogies they used, made it pretty good. But one thing I want to also say, I watched a video the other day on Isaac Newton. You know, we all thought he started the calculus and everything else. I found out from the video that when Isaac Newton died, he'd had basically a chest full of notes and stuff that he had written that was seized by the Catholic Church. Isaac Newton was a wizard. Now, just stay with me for a second. He was a Kabbalist. He was a Luciferian. He basically practiced black magic. He was one of the last wizards out of the Dark Ages. This is 1600s. This is who he was. They said he never developed calculus like we were told that he did. And he was more interested in conjuring up spirits and all kinds of demons. I mean, he was a full-blown Kabbalist wizard. He denied God. He denied the Trinity. Denied all of this stuff. And in the letters, in fact, the Catholic Church was so scared when they opened it up and looked at it after his death, they shipped the lid on the box and didn't open it for another 100 years. Austin, they just said, "No, we're not going there." It was that kind of crazy stuff. Okay, so these are the guys that are doing all of this stuff, and they control the energy fields, the magnetic fields around the planet with their human sacrifice and with all of these things that they're doing with CERN. Now, right now, we've got bizarre cosmic rays coming out of Antarctica. Antarctica always amazes me. Over 10 years ago, NASA-affiliated researchers set out to observe cosmic rays showering on Earth from above, but now we're finding out they're actually emanating and coming out of Antarctica as almost as a giant energy system has been opened in Antarctica. Think through this for a second with me, guys. All of this stuff they do, I mean, like pretty much all the world leaders, including the Pope and the guys from the Orthodox Greek Church, and all these guys have gone down to the Russian Orthodox Church, have gone to Antarctica now to look at something. Some people come back and they've been all shook up. I mean, it's some crazy stuff going on down here. Now, one other source now saying is this: Antarctica is opening up a wormhole. Yes. There is an opening to another dimension down there due to the extremely high magnetic shift in and near Antarctica. It's literally tearing a new fabric into the dimensional field. This is the reason why all those government leaders went down there. This is why they shut off Antarctica to the public and so forth. The public only gets about 5% of the story of what's going on in Antarctica. Guys, all of this stuff deals with energy fields in multidimensional string theory physics. Now, I'm going to make string theory real simple real quick. Basically what they say strings. That makes you say, it sounds like a violin or a guitar. And what that basically means is this. You've got, if you have an octave, if you've ever played in band, and you've got like a B, C, D, E or whatever, and you can go up an octave and you can play one note higher, one note higher, one note higher, one note higher. They're saying there's an infinite series of vibratory strings. These aren't real strings. They're basically vibrations. They're energy fields that are in our dimension next to us that these other entities live in. And what they're trying to do is open up rifts in the fabric of time-space to enter into these other dimensions in order to be able to travel through space, travel through time, all kinds of other stuff. This is what CERN's all about. It's all about opening up portals. And this is who these guys are and what they do. And this is why everything's obfuscated also. They don't tell us about 5G because of all the frequencies they're opening up with that. And see, what we have to understand is that, you know, in the Old Testament, there's a battle going on, and the guy was all stressed out. And then and the God said, don't be concerned, I'll take care of it. And the guy goes, well, I'm scared, you know, we're greatly outnumbered. And he says, I'm going to open your eyes. And he opened their eyes, and the hill was filled with angels. And he couldn't see them, but all of a sudden they were there. He opened up his ability to see into that next dimension, and the angels were all about him. Guys, this is what we have right now. We have this interdimensional, intergalactic battle that's been going on for eons of time, good versus evil, and we simply are in the middle of it all. And so that's why when we speak certain things that are negative, we encourage these things and we empower them in this multidimensional holographic energy field that we call our planet, that we call reality. And we can literally change these different parts of our dimensional interface by the words that we speak and by the power of our prayer. It changes everything. And I've talked to you guys so many times about this. This is why they hate Christians, because when you are a Christian and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you're connected to God in His dimension, whatever that dimension is, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, it gives you a tiny percentage of God's abilities as far as His, you know, His all-knowingness and all power and all timeline stuff. It gives you tremendous insight into stuff. It's omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. It does all of this stuff for you because you're in covenant with the Most High God. Nobody else does that. There are no other religions that do that. It's only through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of Jesus Christ. I've had other people that I know that have written articles that aren't Christians, and they talk about the demons that are going on and the witchcraft that's going on in the United States and everything else. They never bring up the name of Yeshua or Jesus. Guys, it's by that name these angels, these demons, everything bows. The Bible says, you know, you believe in God. Well, good, even the demons believe that and shudder. Guys, it's so important that we keep ourselves right and we pray every single day. When I get to pray for you guys this morning like I did, it means so much to me. I've talked to several of you this week, and it's been absolutely wonderful talking to you and listening to you and hearing about your lives. In fact, I've got a good friend of mine right now in Australia who's overcoming pancreatic cancer, And I told him, I said, well, I'm planning on traveling to visit you guys next August in the year, you know, next summer. I'm planning on going over there to see you guys. You see, because I have faith that her husband, Alex, is going to completely recover from the pancreatic cancer. And so I have complete faith. And so that's how we have to walk. We have to walk like that. We have to walk by faith. The word says without faith it's impossible to please God. See, Jesus said, ask as if you've already received it and it'll be given unto you. That's because you have to assume that you're going to get it. You don't get what you want out of life. I'm going to be very clear with you about scripture and about prayer right now. You get what you expect. God is that type of God. He loves you that much that if you expect that he's going to do something for you, he's going to do it because you're in covenant with him, because you have the faith for that expectation. If you want something, he probably figures, well, you may or may not need it. You may or may not want it. But if you understand the difference between want and expectations, Jesus says, ask as if you have already received it and it will be given unto you. Father, I thank you that I'm walking in divine health. I thank you that my heart is strong. I thank you that my lungs are clear. I thank you that my body is functioning in every way it's supposed to function, that my back's doing absolutely great. I thank you, Lord, that my wife has totally overcome being upset, her stomach being upset the other night, and she's walking in divine health. Thank you that I'm blessed beyond measure, shaken down, running over as my cup cannot contain it, in all the areas of my life, and that I have wonderful friends all over the world who listen to the show. Thank you for that, Lord. That's how you pray. You pray expecting God to do it for you in the past tense as if you've already received it. I don't care what the doctor says to you. I don't care. If he gives you some horrible diagnosis, what difference does it make? That's his opinion. Our God is greater than any doctor's diagnosis. And that's why they call it spontaneous remission. I got a kick out of that. Instead of calling it a miracle, which is what it is, they call it spontaneous healing or spontaneous remission. Or they come in and say, well, the seven scientists and all the oncologists and the people who did all the biopsies, they all made a mistake. You didn't have cancer. That's why you're cured of the cancer, because you never had it. That's the kind of nonsense they push on all of the folks in this country and all around the world. When they get their little wand out and they try to put some witch curses on you, you'll be dead in 30 days. 30 days, you'll be dead. What kind of crap is that? Who do they think they are? They are not God Almighty. They do not have the power over life and death. And they say this kind of junk to you like you're supposed to believe it. Complete and total nonsense to me. We live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Yahweh, because we have to know that he is there and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. And sometimes I like to preach a little bit off. So what are you thinking? What's your next story, bud?
Yeah, I know. No, there's no doubt about it. There's definitely some crazy stuff going on. That's why we have to continually focus on the facts and what really matters. Also, too, I saw other news is the United Nations just won't come out and admit they're doing it for the last 20 years, as we've clearly seen. But they continually, subliminally tell us they do it. In their new report that just got released October 8th, the United States is sounding alarm bells about the need for climate engineering technology. On October 8th, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change released a new report which makes several calls for further investigation climate engineering technology known as geoengineering. The title Global Warming of 1.5 Celsius, Special Report on the Impacts of Global Warming. They go on to talk about how the investment for geoengineering needs to be pursued. They said geoengineering is deliberate and large-scale usage of manipulation of the weather and climate using a variety of technologies. One popular form of geoengineering is known as solar radiation management, which is essentially what we see, or it's allegedly see, with these planes spraying all the time. They said it's a process which involves planes spraying aerosols in the sky designed to reflect sunlight in an effort to combat global warming. Now, the aspect of what they're saying here is they're not saying they're doing it. They're saying that they need to start doing it to prevent global warming. The irony about this is what they've had to do now, because there's been so much chatter online for the last 20 years, and people recording these planes, people recording the trails, people testing the water like we did. We put our results on the website of our rainwater right after these things were spraying, and the amount of aluminum and barium was off the charts in the rainwater. This is what they're doing now to try to desensitize the population. So all of a sudden they can soon roll out in the next couple of years. Oh yeah, we already talked about that. We've been talking about it for the last 10 years. We've been doing test runs on it. They were simply test runs. That may have been what you've seen was a test run. Dude, a test run is in a plane over our state, over our county, every single day, 365 days a year for 10 years on end. That's not a test run, buddy. But for some reason, they think the public is so naive that we're going to buy into this eventually and think this is something we need to do. The whole thing with climate change is a complete and total just gimmick, essentially, to force us into more submission. Now, I'm not saying the weather's not changing. I'm not saying temperatures aren't changing some. I think there's a lot of different things. I think this Earth changes rapidly. I think it does all kinds of things over thousands of years. It does things all the time. I mean, it's constantly moving. I mean, we're living on plates, I mean, for heaven's sakes. I mean, plates that move and shift and everything else. There's a lot of stuff that goes on this globe, and for us to think that it's not going to change is lunacy. But now, to take it in that step further, to even take more money away from the general population, the United Nations has now declared that in the same report, that a $240 per gallon gasoline tax is needed to fight climate change by the year 2100. So 2100. Over the next 80 years, they said it needs to reach a point of $27,000 per ton of gasoline, which will equate to a $240 per gallon gasoline tax. They say that in 2030, however, which is only 12 years away, the report says that the carbon tax needs to be $5,500 per ton of gasoline, which would be equivalent to $49 per gallon of gas tax. By the time you factor in actual fuel consumption, fuel itself, you're going to be looking at $52 to $53 per gallon of fuel. Think about that for a second, guys. $50 a gallon for fuel. That means when you go to fill up your pickup truck that takes 30 gallons of fuel, it's going to cost you $1,500 to fill your truck up with one tank of gas. This constant fear-mongering and theft of the public in the name of climate change has not dwindled at all in the last 10 years. In fact, it's gotten worse. The thing that most people need to understand is that no amount of money will ever be enough to satisfy this ruling class elite that is simply just expect us to lay down, I guess, and get stolen from, all in the name of fear and protection. There's no longer about anything about climate change at all. It's all about basically controlling the narrative and extracting more money from us. This huge tax is basically, however, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report released Sunday night sees a policy option in the name of reducing these emissions. The problem is that this very little evidence of global warming has actually caused many types of the extreme weather events, which is what they like to put this on. The Paris Climate Accord ahead of the UN Climate Summit scheduled for December is where this whole thing is basically supposed to be ratified. And so I really hope Trump does not capitulate and drag the United States further into the United Nations at all. Even they said, well, another article here, once again, these reports show little basis for claiming that drought, flood, hurricanes, tornadoes have increased over what they have been in the past, much less to greenhouse gases, says University of Colorado professor Roger Pilig. Because a lot of this stuff, always remember, guys, if they're coming out now and they're saying that we need to do geoengineering to cool the earth and do all this other stuff, doesn't that clearly show us that they can do geoengineering to create anything they want, including taking almost a Category 2 hurricane that was dwindling out in the Gulf last week or this week and turning it to a Category 4 by the time it made landfall, the third largest category or largest hurricane to ever make landfall in Florida, period. I mean, this was something that was huge yesterday that hit, and for everybody to sit back and pretend that this stuff can't be manipulated when they're blatantly telling us that geoengineering is a thing they want to do to manipulate the weather is really being naive again, Dan.
You know, Austin, you're absolutely right, because it's just something that, you know, we've known for years. I mean, to me, it still blows my mind. I can show people a contrail and a chemtrail, right? Same sky, same time, together, and see a jet basically leaving a contrail that dissipates a few hundred yards behind the plane, and a jet basically leaving a trail of barium and aluminum fog, and they look at me like I'm from another planet. And it doesn't make any difference. The people just don't look up. people don't see it, and they don't think about it. And of course, you know, Dane Whittington's been on our show many times, and he just says that the Arctic methane release has gotten so bad now that they can't put a lid back on the genie, back in the bottle. They can't stop it. They're basically, it's going to create this Venus effect on this planet, and the temperatures are going to go through the roof. Which again, I mentioned this the other day. Why are they terraforming the planet? They know what they're doing. I know this is used for the over the horizon military systems. I know they're creating a deep, heavy plasma in the lower stratosphere down here where we run around in, and how they're basically using it for all their electronics. I got all that. But they know they're also poisoning the air. They know they're poisoning the people. They're poisoning the plants. They're basically causing the methane gas to be released. They know all this, but it doesn't make a difference. They don't stop. So it's, why are they doing this? Why are we being terraformed? That's the question to ask. By the way, antidepressants, to a health article, can cause severe withdrawal symptoms like hallucination, mania, anxiety, and suicide. My dear friend, pastor who killed himself back in March of this year up in Gainesville, Georgia, was an example of that. New research reveals severe withdrawal symptoms in half of those who discontinue antidepressants, drugs including lasting and even permanent damage. A new study published in the Journal of Addictive Behavior entitled A Systematic Review into the Incidence, Severity, and Duration of Antidepressant Withdrawal Effects are guidelines evidence-based. Here's what they say. Highlights from the paper. More than half, 56% of people who attempt to come off of antidepressants experience withdrawal effects. I personally think it's closer to 90%. Nearly half, 46% of people experiencing withdrawal effects describe them as severe. It is not uncommon for the withdrawal effects to last for months. Current UK and USA guideline estimates the severity and duration of antidepressant withdrawal with significant clinical implications. Continues to say, a systematic literature review was undertaken to ascertain the incidence, safety, severity, and duration of antidepressant withdrawal. We did identify 23 relevant studies with diverse methodologies and sample sizes. Withdrawal incidence rates from 14 studies range from 27 to 86% with a weighted average of 56%. That's the 86%. I said 90%. It goes on to say that these things are absolutely horrible. It says that typical antidepressant withdrawal includes increased anxiety, flu-like symptoms, insomnia, suicidal thoughts, tendencies, suicide, nausea, imbalance, sensory disturbances, hyperarousal, dizziness, electric shock-like sensations, brain zaps, diarrhea, headaches, muscle spasms, tremors, agitations, you hallucinate, you're confused, you sweat, you're irritable. Gosh, I mean, who's starting crap that has stuff that has to come off, you get stuff like this off? It's like a nightmare. Yeah. As the length and duration of the antidepressants use has fueled rising AD prescriptions over time, these symptoms and these withdrawals have gotten much, much worse. Guys, there's all kinds of natural. Get our healthy brain protocol. It works so well. The B complex alone by itself, what it does to the brain. And throw an extra B5, B6 in there, some iodine, some cod liver oil. It's just amazing how 5-HTP, if you're not taking the 5-hydroxyls, if you're not taking the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which you can't take to 5-HTP. Here's another one. The drug-free solution ending depression. This is an article by Brogan. She's a medical doctor. She's also a psychiatrist. She is not a Christian. I just want you guys to know that, because we have to, a lot of times people get caught up in what people say, and they start using a lot of new age terms. You kind of have to use your Christian lenses and look at it and say, hey, this girl's not a Christian, but she may have something important to say. It's kind of like, you know, to me, if a person's a patriot, often I want to listen and I want to do everything I possibly can in order to be that person who is the one who's going to help everybody else to feel absolutely better all of the time. D3, turmeric, omega-3 fatty acids, this is what she's telling you to take. B vitamins, all these things that I just mentioned are absolutely critical for your brain to work properly. Guys, if your brain's not getting the nutrients that it needs, why do you think it can make the neurotransmitters that it needs in order to produce the brain chemistry that you need let me give you an example. If you're trying to run diesel in a gasoline engine, it's not going to run very far. It'll run a little bit, it's going to quit. Same thing happens to your body. You got to have specific nutrients, a specific intake to put into this brain. So the brain's an interface. Our consciousness really doesn't reside in our brain. We'll get into that on another show. The brain's an interface. it basically allows our consciousness to basically be interfaced with our body. That's why, you know, people, when they have near-death experiences, they talk about how they left their body and their consciousness was looking down at their body, and they can actually describe things in the surgery suite or in the hospital they were in vivid detail, even when they're trying to be worked on, how many times they tried to restart their heart. They know all of the stuff when they come out. A lot of times with these near-death experiences, they see it because the consciousness is not in the body. It simply uses the brain as an interface, like a computer. It's kind of like this. If you're talking to somebody on your cell phone, okay, that person's not in your cell phone. The person is somewhere else, okay? The cell phone's being used as a transmitter, as a conduit to basically take that voice that you're hearing talking to get to you. That's kind of what your brain does. Consciousness resides outside of the body. And science has known this for a long, long, long time. They just don't like talking about it. By the way, lifestyle interventions are also very important. We got to have dietary modification, more healthy fats, less sugar, less dairy, less gluten, very important with gluten, more healthy fats, all of this stuff, vitamins, probiotics. Don't ever underestimate how probiotics work in the body. Probiotics are absolutely amazing. In fact, your gut, now they just discovered this, your gut is directly connected to your brain by a newly discovered neuron circuit. The human gut is lined with more than 100 million nerve cells. It's practically a brain into itself, and indeed the gut actually talks to the brain, releasing hormones into the bloodstream that over the course of about 10 minutes tell us how hungry it is, or that we should have eaten the entire pizza or taken an entire stick of butter on the popcorn. It tells you real quick, this isn't what we want to do. Guys, this is so important that we have to understand something. We have an interdimensional interface in our body that allows it to talk to itself. See, our bodies aren't just in this dimension. That's the thing that I've talked about on the show before. We have, like, part of our body resides in an alternative dimension, and it uses scalar waves in order to facilitate transfer of information and thought and relays of, you know, energy from the brain to the rest of the body. That's why our cells are all interconnected. That's why if you take your blood out here in Florida and you send a pint to Australia and keep it alive at the perfect temperature, and you watch a scary movie here in Florida, and you release fear molecules into your blood, you release the same fear molecules into your blood in Australia simultaneously, instantaneously. We're all interconnected through interdimensional gateways, so to speak, through scalar waves. And it's really neat how God made us. And we'll do more of that on a later show. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you so much. You guys are awesome. You guys are just the best. Thank you for the opportunity you give me to talk to so many of you. It's been a pleasure. And Jackie, I really do mean coming to Cal. I'm planning on coming to Australia. You tell Alex next summer in August. I love you guys. I appreciate you. You guys just rock and rule the world. I love it. You guys keep praying the way you're supposed to pray. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from Health Masters. Thank you for supporting us. You know, thank you for just, sometimes you guys just, you know, get stuff that you really may not need because you just want to support us. Thank you for that. You guys are awesome. You guys are just awesome. I don't know how to say this. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I'm babbling now. Austin, go ahead and do the write-up. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Yes, guys. Thank you for all the support. If you need anything, check us out at healthmasters.com, or you can give us a call at 1-800-726-1834. Be sure to check out all the different sales and specials that we have going on a regular basis, including the product of the week, which changes every week depending on what you vote for it as. The Muscle Blast, that's our BCAA. Incredibly awesome product. I literally use it every time I work out. Really good for muscle recovery, really good for strength, and also for endurance while you're in the gym. Really effective product. Be sure to check it out on the website, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.